Well, Brother Jerry is going to address us on a topic, what is truth? Brother Jerry.
Thank you, Brother Joe, for the prayer, Brother Richard, and thank you, Sister Snyder, for playing, and brethren, for raising your voices to the Lord. I appreciated the fellowship during our lunch break and all the questions that came and comments on our previous discourse. I look forward to those discussions. I love the helpful criticisms because we do want to do a good job and do a better job and to serve our brethren. And this truth is so precious to us, and we rejoice in discussions and being with our brethren. We had talked in the last discourse that we were kind of taking the 30,000-foot view, and we were going to bring it down to maybe the treetop levels here with this discourse. And there were a couple of things that we want to talk about. Our key theme text is going to be 1 Timothy 2, 3 and 4. And 3 is from the latter part of it where it says, God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And so we're going to explore that a little bit from a few different aspects. What is truth, the meaning, as it affects the church today? And secondly, how the world of mankind is affected by it. And before I go on, brethren, we love you so much. We appreciate the warmth of the fellowship here and being here with you and the privilege to serve you. And we want to thank the doctors, my dear family and brethren, for your warm hospitality. And we welcome you all. As Sister Janine reminded me, I didn't bring programs. But we have a big convention in March, and you're all welcome to come. And we'll correct that, sister. We'll send them down. So we want to look at the scripture. We want to look at truth. And we're told in Habakkuk 2, verses 1 and 2, I will stand upon my watch, and I set me upon the tower, and will watch to see what he will say unto me. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth. You know, when we look at that, set me upon. Brother Russell's thought there from the Dewey version says, fix my feet upon. So it's this firm foundation. And it's not a guess, but it's plainly and clearly to understand. That's what the Lord intends for his people. One of the things we look to is Israel to see our time and where we're at. And we're told in Lamentations, verse 1 and 2, this is the contemporary English version, none of her former lovers are there to offer comfort. Her friends have betrayed her and are now her enemies. We're seeing some of these things happening. And these are some of the things that we look for where we are at the stream of time. So much anti-Semitic things that are going on in the very colleges as the young people are coming up. So we're seeing a lot of things intensify with Israel. The last administration was very pushing themselves away, as it were, from Israel. So Israel is one to watch to see where we are in the stream of time. Brother Russell has, in volume 4, page 527, he talks about that great day of vengeance and the things that are coming upon the earth. A tumultuous noise shall come, even to the end of the earth, for the Lord hath a controversy with the nations. He holdeth judgment over all flesh. He will give them that are wicked to the sword, saith the Lord. And let me just preface before I go further. We're bringing these things up because in the last year and a half or so, there's been quite a bit of turmoil in our political environment, as well as in the world with Israel and things that are going on. And in the recent election that took place, you know, there were some that were in perplexity, even some of the brethren. So we're going to go through these things as we talk about what is truth. And when we get into our discussions about for the church first, what we should be expecting. And that's why it's important that we wanted to read some of these things to point out what the expectations are for us at the end. We're being told scripturally and what Brother Russell had written in some of these things concerning some of the scriptures. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, evil shall go from nation to nation, and great whirlwinds shall be raised up from the far east, the farthest east ends of the earth. And the slain of the Lord shall be at that day from one end of the earth unto the other end of the earth. They shall not be lamented, neither gathered nor burned. They shall be dung upon the ground. Jeremiah 25:29-38. And he says this, so complex and peculiar will be the conflict of the day of vengeance that no one symbol could describe it. In the scriptures, accordingly, many forceful symbols are used, such as battle, earthquake, fire, storm, tempest, and flood. You know, this was a picture that came up. Now, at that time, I believe the end is near, the end of the election. But, you know, you can see that there was, when this election actually happened, there's a whole, you can see how divided. You know, one of the things, nation against nation, look at how polarized. I mean, you had a massive split, and the other end, if this one gets in, they're evil. If this one, the world's over, and so forth. So I thought this was an interesting picture, and it has a lot to do with our time and what we're seeing. You know, and we continue on the Lord's great, great day. God's side of the battle will be the people's side, and that very nondescript host, the people, will be pitted at the beginning of the battle. Anarchists, socialists, hot-headed radicals of every school of reason and unreason will be in the forefront of that battle. He who has any knowledge of army life knows that a great army is composed of all classes. The masses will be restless under the restraints, but will be conscious of their weakness, and compared with the kings and princes, financial, social, religious, and political, who will then hold the sway. The majority of the poor and the middle class prefer peace at almost any price. The masses have no sympathy with anarchy. They realize truly that the worst form of government is better than none. The masses will seek relief through the ballot and the peaceful readjustment of the earth's affairs for the elimination of evil, for the placing of monopolies and utilities and the supplies of nature in the hands of the people for the public good. The crisis will be reached when hitherto upholders of the law shall become violators of the law and resistors of the will of the majority as expressed by the ballot. Sounds like he's talking about the last year and a half. Fear for the future will goad the well-meaning masses to desperation, and anarchy will result when socialism fails. The Lord's saints are not to be in the middle in the battle at all. God's consecrated people, longing at heart for Messiah's kingdom and the glorious year of Jubilee and restitution, which it will inaugurate, will patiently abide the Lord's time and wait unmurmuringly for it. Their lamps trimmed and burning, they will not be in the darkness respecting the momentous events of the impending battle. But they will be of good courage, knowing the outcome portrayed in the more sure word of prophecy, to which they have done well to take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn. 2 Peter 1:19. So, brethren, the new creation's responsibilities when we look at the truth for ourselves today is, are we ready for the birth? Remember, the spirit, that new creature, has to be ready to have life outside this human body. 2 Peter 3:10. The elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. 2 Peter 3:11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Continuing on, 2 Peter 3:17, ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Don't let these events and the things that are going on today shake us. Nothing evil may be done so long as the machinery is working well and under control. But when the moment shall come that the interests of the managers and the capitalists will be in the reverse direction from the interests of their employees and the public, then look out. Remember the inspired word that this is to be a time of trouble, such as was not since there was a nation. How glad we are that man's extremity in this time of trouble will be the Lord's opportunity. He's waiting to be gracious. He is wishing to pour out upon mankind the blessings of the millennial kingdom for 1,000 years, for their uplift out of sin and death conditions back to the image and likeness of God. So we see all these things happening, brethren, about us, and we know to watch and pray and examine. And this is our reality. This is our truth. We have to present our bodies, living sacrifices, holy and acceptable. We have to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. The consecrated, the vow is made, the covenant with God, His Spirit is given to you. 1 Corinthians 6:20, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. This, if we can just realize that and remember that, that God, that this spirit, this price, we are no longer our own. Having done all to stand, reach that fourth quarter mark of love to be tested and to be made ready. Press towards that mark. 1, avoiding self-satisfaction. 2, singleness of purpose. 3, forgetting the things which are behind, having good habits of thought, and energetic in the zeal for the truth. And in all things, keeping from evil, from the appearance of evil, any form of evil. And finally, prepare ye the way of the people. Cast up the highway, gather out the stones, lift up a standard for the people. So remember the highway of holiness. There's going to be no stone of stumbling. Well, that's what the church is learning now. The church is learning the righteousness. The church is learning all truth so that they can be in a position to guide the world of mankind. Have to have all those experiences to be ready to teach and be kings and priests, sympathetic high priest. And, you know, one of the things that we wanted to bring up here with these four winds being held back till the church is sealed, it says, gather my saints together unto me, Psalms 50, verse 5, and Mark 13, 27, and then shall he send his angels and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. Revelation 7, 1 and 7, 3. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. You know, there was in the discussion, in the study, we were talking about, I think Sister Sherelle brought it up, about how we don't know how the Lord is protecting us, and how Balaam was made to see that angel with the sword. You know, here we have these angels. You know, Brother Ray Luke used to do this. He would say, here's the Lord, and the angels are holding everything back for us. And here we are. We're seeing these things, we're walking about. What is our zeal like? Do we have that zeal to make our calling and election sure and be ready and be fitted for that birth? So this is our truth, brethren. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Some make the mistake of praying without watching. Others make the mistake of watching without praying. But the safe and only proper method is that which our Lord directed, to combine the two. We're to watch and to be on our guard against the encroachments of the world, the flesh, and the devil. We are to watch for all the encouragements of the Lord's word, the evidences of their fulfillment, the signs that betoken his presence, and the great changes of dispensation at hand. We have to watch ourselves to keep ourselves from the snares of the present time. Watch the fulfillment of the scriptures, fully awake and watching to see what is the duty of the hour, and then to be diligent in doing it. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's what we pray for. So as we see these things crumbling, we're nigh at hand. Psalms 45, 13 and 15. The king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold. With gladness and rejoicing shall they be brought. They shall enter into the king's palace. God does the selecting. We follow the direction and the example of our master of sacrifice and to death and filling up that which is behind that we talked about. We have to proclaim the presence of the king to the household of faith, doing all those things to uplift the household of faith, to give a message of encouragement now. And then, in the spirit realm, we'll be able to teach the people with the pure word. This will ensure the recovery of mankind and the renewed relationship with God. It's a mighty task. It's a wonderful opportunity and a privilege to spend and have glory, honor, and immortality with the Heavenly Father, with our Lord Jesus, for all eternity. This is the truth for the new creatures, for those that will be of the church. How that scripture applies to us. So now, what is truth for the world of mankind now? And there's certainly, as from our comments here, a different truth during the mediatorial reign. What do men know of truth today? When Jesus was before Pilate, he said, "Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice." And Pilate answered him and said, "What is truth?" I mean, just think about this election. Think about what we heard. It was horrible. And when it was over, they wanted to thank each other and as if nothing happened. Pilate knew they can make anything mean what they want to suit their needs. And aren't we seeing some of those things today? So what is truth today? You know, there's five major world religions that have a belief in a God. There's Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam, Christianity, and the New Age. Some say that there's between 21,000 and 33,000 sects. Others, there's 4,300. So even the 4,300 different viewpoints of Christianity is a lot. If you look at the United States, there's about 35 different groups. Catholics make up about 50 million, Baptists 33. Non-denominational, about 14 million. The Methodists, 14. Lutherans and Presbyterians, about 9 million. Protestants, Episcopals, and Pentecostals, about 12 million combined. We're told in Isaiah 8:20, "To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them." 2 Thessalonians 2:10 and 11. "And they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusions that they should believe a lie." You know, we're told in Daniel, the wicked will not understand, but the wise will understand. So what are we seeing and what are we looking at? Remember, truth now. And we brought in some of these things from the religious groups to some of these things that are coming from them and their leadership. Leviticus 18:22, we're told that thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. It is now written into the laws of this country that it is an acceptable practice. 1 Timothy 2:12, "But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man." And there are many, even our new president, his spiritual advisor is a woman. Isaiah 8:12, "Say ye not a confederacy to all them to whom this people shall say a confederacy." I don't know if you can, you probably can't see all these names in here, but these are the, you know, here's the Pope and you have the Protestant leaders of the world. And, you know, here's Kenneth Copeland and someone, Betty Robinson, Tony Palmer, Carol Arnott. These are ones that had petitioned the Pope. They've had audience with him. He had them there in the Vatican. They had a meal together and discussions together. You know, I heard that I believe it was Schuller, before he died, he asked the Pope, "What must we do to come home?" So there is this union coming together. This is not the time. The sickle has been thrust in. This is the separating time to find the truth. And they're looking to pull together to stop their differences, throwing away truths, and coming together. Genesis 1:27, "So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he him. Male and female, he created them." So you know of this latest controversy, the transgenders. And, you know, this is from John Hopkins. This is a statement from John Hopkins Hospital and the different the psychology and so forth. "Transgender is a mental disorder. Sex change is biologically impossible." Remember, we're talking about what is truth today for the world. 2 Timothy 4:3-4, For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. So, we mentioned, Brother Russell talked about the people worshiping the financial and the princes of the earth having power and sway. I think you know most of these that are up there. They're all billionaires, every one of them. And we look at the worldly wise are the teachers. This is who they're counseling with, who the world of mankind counsels with. You know, in 1 Timothy 6:10, this is from Weymouth. For from love of money all sorts of evils arise, and some have so hankered after money as to be led astray from the faith. You know, brethren, it's do unto others as you'd have do unto them, right? Well, there's another rule, the golden rule. He who has the gold makes the rules. And this is what we're seeing. Anyone who makes a lot of money, they must know something. They must be smart. Let's follow them rather than following God. Isaiah 5:20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that pour darkness, put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Here's Christendom, where they've had all of this time to create a world of love and rejoicing and camaraderie, and all you see is misery and war and famine, starvation and murder and hatred. Greed and selfishness leads to death and destruction. This is the truth that they're dealing with, the delusions, the strong delusions, and the lies that mankind has believed. Luke 21:26, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Now, these were the four candidates. You know, that these other two over here, they did receive millions of votes. But the people are looking for a savior out of this degradation that they're going through and the misery. Now, let's contrast that, brethren, with what they will have in the kingdom. Revelation 22:17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come, and whoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For then will I turn to the people a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord, to serve him with one consent. The truth will provide sure footing for going up that highway of holiness. Death to pass away, Revelation 21:4. God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. It brings in our theme text. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. So that part's been done. God would have all men to be saved. Our Lord accomplished it. It will be testified in due time. But this knowledge of the truth, Isaiah 11:9, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. As mankind learns and understands what God wants, it will be perfect for them. And it's interesting, when you look at this word knowledge, and the word that's used here, it's clear and certain, which actually exists. It's a fact. So the knowledge of the Lord, it will not be a conceptual, or like we are following by faith. This will be an actual. Now, they'll be living in it. They'll have this knowledge of seeing it actually happening to them. So why isn't it happening? What is going on? Experience with sin was needful. The exceeding sinfulness of sin. Romans 7:12-13. This is the Rotherham translation. So that the law indeed is holy and the commandment holy and the righteous and good. Did then that which is good unto me become death? Far be it, but it was sin, that it might appear sin, through that which was good unto me, working out death, in order that exceeding sinful might sin become through the commandments. So man to understand it, God had to allow this experience. You know, we talked about who do we counsel with would make the difference. Remember what Eve did. She desired wisdom, and it was for a noble cause. She wanted to please the Heavenly Father. Her lack of experience caused her to give way to her desire. She liked what she heard because it would accomplish her will. Eve desired wisdom, and that's a good thing. Because we're told, all you're getting, get wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom is more valuable than gold. But Eve desiring the wisdom on her terms, and by trusting Satan's word over God's, that's a bad thing. The means must be in accordance with God's commands. If not, the end result do not justify those means. You know, when sin is in the world, things don't get better. It was the second generation where there was a first murder because of jealousy. In the 10th generation, the people were so wicked and evil, God had to destroy that world it was. The people, God just had to change and had to confuse the languages because the people did not believe the promise that he would never destroy the world with a flood. And the wickedness and lust of the desires of man in Sodom, Lord destroyed that city where they couldn't even find it. And we talked about this iniquity coming to the full. We mentioned that why Abraham was not, people would not go into the land. In Genesis 15:16, we're told, but in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet to the full. And it was 400 years. And we know what happened. They came into the city, and the Lord, they destroyed Jericho. The men of Sodom, they did wicked. They were sinners before the Lord exceeding. Remember the plea from Abraham? What if there's 10, Lord? Will you spare the city? It was only just Lot. The evil thoughts of men's hearts was only evil continuously, we're told, that the Lord destroyed it. In these cases, we see where the iniquity had come to the full. Romans 11:32. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief that he might have mercy upon all. So, when will this be? When will that iniquity come to the full? I don't have a date, but we have signs and times. And we're told in 2 Timothy 3:1-4, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, and finally, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Well, Brother Jerry, we're there. But, you know, let's look at that. There's a site. It's called the Atomic Clock, and they track certain things. So we went out there and we took a look at a few things. Now, remember, we're looking at the lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Then we can see all these other things that are happening. So under the health, and this clock counts down, and it clicks off, and it tells you what's happening. So in a given day, there's over 7 billion cigarettes smoked. Now, it's been confirmed that that will kill you. Cigarettes kill you, but look at this. Lovers of pleasures. 381 billion worldwide spending on illegal drugs in a single year. 40 million abortions a year. In the social media, there's over 318,000 television sets sold in a day. Now, I ran these numbers at 10 in the morning, but I figured they're counting a 24-hour day here, I'm hoping. Cellular phones sold in a day, 2,400,000. Money spent on video games, over 87 million in a day. 2 billion internet users in the world and growing. I think now we're over 3 billion. As far as the government goes, this number was from January to September. I think the goal or the estimation was going to be $1.5 trillion on public military spending in the world. Weapons of destruction to kill one another, fellow man. 157 million computers sold between January and September. So we're trying to establish our lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. The other thing that is hard to imagine, this number here. 21,000 people die every day from hunger or hunger-related diseases. That's one every 5 seconds. Look at the staggering number there. 7.5 million a year die that way. You know, Jesus said, the poor you will have with you always. I thought about the scripture and I said, boy, he must have known how degraded man would become. That they have the means and the money, that out there to stop this. You know that it exists, the money exists right now, the infrastructure exists that can be set up that could stop hunger around the world forever. To protect that money, to make sure it gets to the people, to have an army, whatever it takes, forever. Right now, it can be stopped. But has iniquity come to the full? And how is it possible for mankind to fall so far from the image of the Creator? It's because they're blinded by Satan. God knew this. Their eyes are covered by gross darkness. So, this experience with sin is needful. Remember, disobedience, it was willful. The lack of experience with evil, they didn't appreciate the good. You know, Adam and Eve are the only ones that really know what good is. We've got glimpses, but they experience true good, absolute good. Self-will, it fosters greed, pride, and hatred for one's brethren. No forgiveness, evil continuously. Galatians 5, 19 to 21 is the fruits of the flesh, includes murder. The heart turns to stone. Remember Jesus said, you have your father the devil. Your father is whom you serve, right? Ezekiel 36, 26 and John 8, 44. Such will not inherit the kingdom of God. When we look at this now, let's go back and talk about the knowledge from these verses. Faith versus experience. Trusting versus the living in the moment. 2 Peter 1:5, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. This is genosis or gnosis. And it's knowing, that is by implication. Webster's is a clear and certain perception of the truth, in fact. This is the word that's talked about in Hebrews, the faith chapter. They perceiving the kingdom. They had that faith. That's why the great reward, that it's by faith. And the hearing that we have this opportunity. This is genosis. Now we look at our text, our theme text. 1 Timothy 2:4. Who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth? This is epinosis. It's recognition. That is the full discernment, the exact knowledge, living in it, being acquainted with it. This is not by faith. You're seeing it happen. You're seeing the dead rise. You're seeing the deserts bloom. You're seeing all this, the hatred go away. The knowledge of the Lord fill the earth. Isaiah 35, 8 and 9. And a highway shall be there, a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men. Though fools shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast. It shall go thereupon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. The Lord's giving the experiences. Micah 4:2, we're told, and many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths, for the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. You know, Albert Einstein said, any fool can know. The point is to understand. So the Lord's going to go through this whole process. He's going to bring mankind back. They're going to be in the kingdom. So they're going to learn this truth, but how will it prove that they understand it? Remember, self-will, the lost reference for God, obedience, knowledge of truth. Man without God's direction, the heart has become stone. Job 28:28. Unto man he said, behold the fear or the reverence of the Lord. That is wisdom. And to depart or turn from evil, remember all they did was evil continuously, the iniquity coming to the full. But the turning from that evil, that's the understanding. Ezekiel 36:26 tells us, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. You know, I love this quote from Helen Keller. You know, we brought this scripture before. It says, marvel not, the dead shall hear his voice and come forth. John 5:28-29. Helen Keller said, death is no more than passing from one room into another, but there is a difference for me. Because in that other room, I shall be able to see. Now, think about the beautiful kingdom. It's going to be so marvelous. You can't imagine. I can't imagine anyone would ever want to go back to this, to have another Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump situation ever again, and to see what's happening about the way people wiping people off, indiscriminately killing one another. That it'll be love and the joy that will be expounding, you know, until we know that until we experience death from someone close in our family, a parent or a loved one, a wife or a husband or a child, we don't realize how powerful that resurrection is and what it's going to mean. And when the world has been taught, remember we talked about the lies that they've been told and the truth that they have? Can you imagine in the kingdom how their loved ones are supposed to be burning in hell or there's gone forever in second death when they see them and they rejoice and they embrace them again and they're vital and they're whole? Well, can you picture, you know, I love Brother Gene Burns' picture of his view of the resurrection days. You know, there's going to be welcomings. They're going to plant the vineyards. They're going to teach them how to plant. They're going to have resurrection tea and cakes in celebration. They're going to build their homes and they're going to study. They're going to be up various degrees of the highway of holiness, aren't they? So they're going to have to teach one another. And that's that understanding. That's from Job 28. How will they prove they've turned from evil? By helping their fellow man, the heart turning to flesh. That's the love that's going to be shown. It'll truly be one family. And there'll be a new opportunity in the kingdom to choose a guide. Jesus said in 6 John 6:51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of the bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. And they will know this. This is my beloved son, and they'll believe it, Matthew 17:5. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. What a message of hope and comfort. And we know that Jesus was that perfect satisfaction, a perfect life for a perfect life. For as in Adam all die, even so shall Christ be made alive. And here's our 12 stones again. So if you missed it in the first one, brethren, the 12 stones representing all the peoples of the earth, you know, and they're told to take up these 12 stones and carry them into the kingdom. No longer stumbling over Christ. Learning in the kingdom, they'll be ready, as in Hebrews 14 we're told, strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised for what? To discern both good and evil. This is the education mankind is going to have. Christ no longer a stumbling stone. And thou shalt not see evil anymore, Zephaniah 3:15. In Hebrews 8:11, and they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they all will know me, from the least to the greatest. So we knew what happened with disobedience. Now, having had this experience with the seeding sinfulness of sin, they're going to willfully obey. They will have had the experience with evil. Now they're going to really come to appreciate what good really means. Having turned from evil, mankind learns to love God, love their neighbor as themselves. Mark 12:30 and 31. Remember what Jesus said? On all these rest the law and the prophets, to love God with all your might and your neighbor as yourself. Following God's will, love grows in abundance. They return to the fold, ready to forgive. Forgiveness is the biggest test and the biggest key. The heart will be turned to flesh. They will be sons of God. And the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. From Isaiah 35:10. Brethren, we wanted to bring these scriptures. These are things that you know. And we trust in these things. We have faith in these things. But in this time, as we saw, with sin, things never get better. It's going to keep getting worse. And we have a wonderful story to tell to Jew, to Christian, to the Muslims, to Hindus, to all about this loving God. The Lord will give the increase or not, but will we give that message? That's our test. And we know that when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him. And that's going to be our privilege, bringing that world of mankind back to him so that God may be all in all. To God be the glory, brethren. We thank you for the privilege. We love you. Lord bless. Amen.